Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, NovoEd is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, NovoEd taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with NovoEd to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the NovoEd Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I am the host of the NovoEd Talks podcast, and today I am joined by Nadine Tanner, who is the Executive Director of Essential Tech at S&P Global. Nadine leads the Essential Tech team, providing strategic direction for the formal, social, and experiential offerings of the program. During her 16-year tenure with S&P Global, she helped spearhead a successful business development and operational excellence program in market intelligence, established and formalized MI's launch management process, and launched a cross-divisional corporate innovation enablement fund to support early-stage emerging tech and disruptor opportunities, among many other things. Nadine, thank you so much for joining us today. It is a pleasure to have you.
Thanks so much, Melissa. It's great to be joining you today.
Why don't you start by, you know, expanding upon that little introduction I gave and talk a little bit about your role in your company?
Sure. So I lead Essential Tech. And oftentimes when you hear that word, you think of technology learning. But really, it's about accelerating all of our people's future readiness across the organization. And we do that through learning, obviously, but innovation and application opportunities. A little bit about the company, S&P Global. We're a leading provider of financial market intelligence. We have commodity insights, ratings, analytics, and we're global. We have 70 offices in 35 countries. And we offer essential insights for really a broad range of clients, including governments, companies, and individuals, so that they can make smarter, more informed decisions to navigate a whole bunch of global markets.
Wow. So a very diverse audience there. Could you, if you had to, generalize it? Maybe you can, but who are some of your learners and what are some of their biggest challenges?
Well, like I said, I mean, Essential Tech, we do have technology practitioners as one of our main audiences, but it also is all employees. So we develop and deploy new programs and resources for increasing tech fluency and technical skills across our entire 36,000 plus employee population. So our mission is really to develop that foundational level of knowledge for all employees, but also to build some really deep learning opportunities across, you know, the big things like automation, data science, DevOps, cloud, agile, cybersecurity, you name it. It's kind of, it's really about building the, for all employees, it's about building that vocabulary so that they can have conversations with their technical counterparts if they're non-technical, but really be able to make decisions around how to use technology and work with technologists to build products and build internal processes.
Wow. That's amazing. And what are some of your biggest L&D challenges for these folks and how are you approaching them?
So I think they're, you know, I think they're general challenges for the audience and it's important to understand why technology might be important for non-technology roles for that all employee audience. So for example, if I was an editorial chief or a commodities analyst or a compliance lawyer, you said like we had a really broad audience in S&P Global, and we do. What's the value in knowing all this stuff for them? Like what's the WIFM for those people? And really, it's technology is an integral part of all of our work lives. We're using it today in this podcast. We use it every day as we're typing on, you know, in a Word document. And so having a foundational knowledge of those concepts really allows people to navigate and use digital tools and platforms effectively. And I've been talking a lot about platforms and tools, but I think it goes beyond that. It's like understanding things like Gen AI, understanding things like decentralized finance that are impacting markets globally, impact us as in our jobs. And it really increases people's insights into those areas beyond what they might hear on the news. If I look at the other audience, which is the technology practitioners, I think it's the sheer speed of change. Yeah. And people in tech roles really need to constantly update their knowledge to stay relevant in their field. If they're not doing that, they really risk becoming obsolete. So the volume of information and resources that are available to learn from can really be overwhelming to folks. And, you know, you can imagine it's just going at a really fast pace. So it's difficult to identify what's relevant and even what's reliable from a training and a learning perspective. If I look at both of those audiences, I think a common challenge across them is simply finding time to learn, making the time to learn in our business as usual days. That work and our lives often don't allow time for this. So we can't make more hours in the day, obviously, but if we can offer, you know, toolkits or support from a management perspective and guidance on how to allocate time for learning, and it's very helpful, and that it kind of overarching culture of establishing continuous, you know, continuous lifelong learning approach to our career development.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, talk about what a balance there, right? Where it's, you know, such a vast amount of volume on knowledge around technology, needing to balance like going into depth with it, but then also balancing the fact that people maybe don't have that much like time to go too in depth with it, but still need to understand it conceptually. I can see that being an incredibly difficult task. With the rise of remote work and virtual collaboration, how has your approach to learning and development adapted to ensure that employees are equipped with the necessary skills for the digital workplace?
So I think that the question that we ask ourselves generally is, how do we engage with 36,000 employees that are spread around the world? You know, some are fully remote, some are hybrid, some are fully in the office. And so for starters, it can be really challenging to connect with people and have people connect with each other. But we've used learning to open a space for people to get to know each other, share cultures, experiences. And that's really been highly effective to build bridges and have people connect that wouldn't have otherwise connected. So as we've moved to being fully remote, not fully remote, but to hybrid work, we've really adapted delivery models to a more blended approach. So we're offering self-paced learning, virtual and in-person workshops, boot camps. We also leverage a lot of collaborative tools like Microsoft Teams, Viva Engage, and that encourages that social learning aspect. We have internal playgrounds as well that we've built that provide people with safe spaces to experiment, continue to learn, use the skills that they've just initiated and developed through a course, and even develop new tools and products. We have another way of kind of connecting people through a network of hundreds of volunteer tech learning champions and subject matter experts that we call Essential Tech Chapters. And they're based around the world, and they really extend our goals at a local level. They host sessions that feature people sharing their career journeys, how they've utilized essential tech resources to support things like career mobility. We have hackathons. We have showcases. Those groups run design thinking workshops, power prompting workshops for Gen AI, you name it. So we hit the people locally while we still have core programming through the essential tech team at the center, at the corporate group.
That's incredible. And like, obviously, what a feat to be taking on with such a large audience across the globe, you know? And that's definitely something unique that I haven't heard before. So that's super interesting. And I love like this concept of learning can be that connecting place that you were talking about. I think that's a really great thing to take advantage of. You know, you kind of talked about how you have these groups at the local level, but how else do you kind of currently measure the effectiveness of your programs? And if you have any, what are some of your core KPIs?
Well, learning is always one of those tricky ones. It's always hard to find that direct link between something that somebody's learned and some change that affects the company. At least I've found that it's always a question people have, like, how do I measure that? So measuring engagement is always a must have. I think it's a standard. So not surprisingly, we capture data around things like course completions, hours of learnings, credentials, certifications. I think we also extend that engagement data into participation in social events, innovation activities, application activities like hackathons, patent programs. We also have a talent marketplace where we match people's skills with actual projects. So you can see that path from people gaining skills to actually producing value through to the company. We also have a measure that of our impact on internal mobility. So people moving from non-tech jobs to tech jobs or within the technology organization. So how many employees have we supported moving into new tech roles and actually impacting personal career growth and growth of teams? And I think finally, we have an annual employee survey that we include a couple questions that are related to learning and opportunities to apply learning that both inform and guide our objectives, our directions, our future delivery methods that are really great kind of overarching key performance indicators of how we're trending year on year.
That's awesome. Could you go into maybe one of those examples or a different example of a, you know, successful case study of an L&D initiative that significantly impacted employee performance that you're particularly proud of?
Sure. I'm going to use one that's from a couple years ago. And I did mention decentralized finance is kind of one of those disruptive areas that we lean into to give our employees kind of a base level of knowledge. But in 2022, we incubated and launched some learning operations around Web 3.0, which incorporates decentralized finance. It includes things like the metaverse, and it's really a technology that's poised to disrupt how our markets operate in the future, particularly finance markets, if you think of decentralized finance, which includes blockchain. So we launched a learning journey with a mandate to introduce concepts around blockchain and DeFi to the entire company. And we also had a goal of creating a pool of Solidity developers. And Solidity is one of the coding platforms that's used to build smart contracts for blockchain applications. And I know I'm getting very technical here, so I'm sorry. But with those skills acquired, we had employees actually build the playground, one of those playgrounds that I mentioned that we use for other developers to experiment and practice. And they developed several proofs of concept around DeFi and decentralized finance that have actually gone into production, and others that have projected in business impact. And so there were a number of roles-based learning paths, completed the training, and really moved to make some impact in the company.
That's awesome. You've talked about it quite a bit, and obviously technology plays a very important part in everything you all do. But can you speak specifically to any kind of like tools or platforms that you leverage for your L&D programs to kind of enhance learning and development experiences?
Sure. Well, I mean, you said it, we have tech in our name, so it's kind of impossible not to have technology at the core of what we do. And I think it really provides a lot of tools and platforms that enhance the learning experience for our learners. I think there's also some, if you look at learning analytics for us as an L&D team, it helps us measure program impact so that we can align with business goals. We can identify strengths and opportunities for additional opportunities for learners and programs that we offer. I think there's also some progress that we've made in using technology for innovative approaches to learning. So like I said, the playgrounds, we have a Gen AI playground that is very similar to ChatGPT, but it's internal. So it's that safe place, and it gives people access to large language models so they can practice prompt engineering, look at how they might create efficiencies in their jobs, leverage creative problem solving capabilities, but all within that secure kind of user-friendly internal system. And then I think another example of an innovative approach where technology really came into play was a metaverse learning platform. And that we use for collaborative workshop environments. We have hosted scavenger hunts in there, just sessions for kind of webinars where people come in and afterwards they can network with each other, and kind of really close to real world scenarios. It also kind of bridges that gap, we talked about the hybrid challenges. It puts people in a world together. You know, they don't have to be in the office or at home to kind of experience a space in the same place.
That's so cool and so amazing. I mean, it's not surprising given what you do that you're, you know, using some of this cutting edge technology, but I think it's just so cool for our listeners to hear like how people are really using those tools. You know, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people hear about, you know, oh, this is cool tech, but I don't really know how to integrate it. So it's really, really great. I feel like for our listeners, for you to share that. So thank you. Thinking forward with us, or just kind of about the industry in general, you know, obviously L&D programs have rapidly evolved over the past 5 years or so, in particular, given everything that's gone on in the world. But what do you think some of the key takeaways have been?
I think I've seen an increased focus on L&D as a strategic lever in companies. So overall training effort has increased. They see it as something to help attract and retain employees, and investing more in employee learning growth, kind of that people first approach. Mm-hmm. And a good L&D strategy should always support your business strategy. It should align. And I think we're playing more of a role in helping support that and being seen as a support for that. I think there's also more of a focus on collaborative training. And what I mean by that is working very closely with stakeholders across boundaries, right? So you're bringing in the internal talent, you're kind of bridging those gaps, you're co-developing with the business versus kind of being a siloed organization and partnering with the business to develop really focused learning offerings.
Yeah, that's great. What about, you know, kind of thinking now that we've looked back, kind of thinking forward, how do you see the future of L&D? You know, what trends or emerging technologies do you believe will shape the way organizations invest in their employees' growth? And I feel like you're in a great position because you've actually like really gotten to experiment with some of those emerging technologies.
Yeah, I think, you know, the experimenting and seeing what works is really important. And I think there's a lot of key areas that that people are playing with across the L&D world. Microlearning remains very, very popular. And I think it aligns well with the modern learner's preference for bite-sized on-demand content. You know, we're kind of all busy. How do we find time to learn? You know, it's also very scalable across, you know, hybrid work environments. I think gamification is always a big hit with learners. It taps into the natural competitiveness and brings play and kind of that element of fun into the mix. While I don't think it's quite prime time for most companies, you know, that whole AR, VR world, it's really increasingly being integrated into learning. It's immersive, it's interactive. Again, it's that fun element, it's new, you know, it's kind of crazy. And of course, I think generative AI, it's gonna drive the next transformation in L&D, because you can really develop things quickly. It can be personalized. For example, in some of the industries that L&D works in, it could generate realistic financial scenarios or synthetic data sets that learners could use to practice financial analysis and modeling. Like, you could even go to that. It's a fantastic learning tool.
Yeah, thank you for providing such like detail and insight into that too. Because I think
sometimes it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yes, it's very exciting. And I think sometimes people are too afraid to talk about like real specifics on how they think it could be, you know, because obviously there's the caveat of, you know, it has to be used the right way and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great, great example. So thanks for sharing that. As a fun send-off, this is always my favorite question to ask. What advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
So I love this question. And I did give this some thought before the call. And I think there's two nuggets that have served me well across my career. And the first is, be authentic. There's nothing more exhausting than putting on a mask to impress others, or hide who your true self is. People can usually see through that pretty quickly. Yeah. And so that doesn't position you well to build trusting relationships, especially in a leadership role. And I think the second is, listen, understand what motivates your team, your stakeholders. Listening really helps you identify needs and move to assist those in need. It opens you up to diverse perspectives and knowledge, and that can really lead you personally as a leader to better decisions. It can help you avoid risks. It also builds trust, which you see as, you know, kind of a thread through this, and it makes people feel valued, heard, understood, and lays that strong foundation for lasting partnerships that you can carry through your career and through projects that you're working on.
That's great advice. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. Nadine, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Novo Ed Talks podcast today. Thank you so much for sharing all of your experiences and specifics. I feel like this was just a great jam-packed episode for our listeners. So thank you so much for participating today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to the Novo Ed Talks podcast. We hope you'll tune in again soon.